The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Time number two of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. You can come on the program by calling us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Phone calls to our programs are up. And we appreciate your involvement, your participation in these programs. The second hour of the Bible study, unlike the first, which is pretty much confined to a specific biblical text, the second hour is a wide open program, open phone program, where you can call in with questions and comments. Again, those numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. I want to talk for just a moment about our KFUO Radio Church of the Week contest. If you were to go to KFUO.org, you would be able to register your church, your LCMS church, for our Church of the Week contest. And let me tell you a little bit about this, because it's going to end here on Friday. And by Friday morning, we'll be drawing a winner for our Church of the Week contest. So basically, you have a couple of days left if you want to nominate your church. I'm thinking we're probably, before it's all over, going to have nearly 300 entries. That's been exciting for us. And if you have not nominated your church, it's one nomination per household, please. So don't have all eight members of your family email us. But if you haven't done this already, you go to KFUO.org. You can fill out an entry form there electronically, and you will be in the drawing. I see Karen Doughty. She goes to Faith Lutheran Church in Godfrey, Pastor Curtis Dieterding's old church before he went back to Minnesota. She has nominated her church. Let's see, who else do we have here? We have Naomi Rader. She goes to St. Paul Lutheran Church in New Athens. She says, "We love Jolly John at St. Paul." She has nominated St. Paul Lutheran Church for our Church of the Week contest. And let's see, anybody else here? I bet I can find another one if I look hard enough. Here's one from Erna Schroeder, Chapel of the Cross in St. Louis. She says, "KFUO has always been a lifeline for our congregation, and I hope it will continue to do so." She has nominated Chapel of the Cross up in North St. Louis County for our Church of the Week contest. So, don't miss out. We've been talking about this now for 3 to 4 weeks. And it's all going to end here on Friday. You'll hear the announcement of the winner of our Church of the Week contest Friday morning with Paul Clayton on his program. The winner of the contest will be the recipient of our Church of the Week package, and something that ordinarily requires a donation here at KFUO, but that means you'll get 35 30-second announcements, which you can use to promote your church, or if you have an event coming up at your church, you can promote that event. If you want to have your pastor or somebody come in and record, you can do that. All of the station identifications that you hear at the top of the hour, just before the news, you will hear that. You'll hear your church identified there. If you want to come in and be a co-host, we have folks who come in on a daily basis to co-host with Paul Clayton. You'll be able to do that. You can have a church representative or your pastor can come in and do that. Unless, of course, you're in Colorado or something, when we'll do that over the phone if we do it that way. And then the pastor gets a $100 gift certificate to the restaurant of his choice. The person who nominates the church gets a $100 gift certificate to the restaurant of his or her choice. So it's just a very cool contest. And we hope that you will take some time to nominate your church. Push that number of entries in the bag up past 300. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. We're working to make connections with our guest here in this hour of conversation, Dr. Lane Berglund. He is pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Churubusco, Indiana. We haven't made that connection yet, but we hope to do that soon. While you're at KFUO.org, we have reworked our website a little bit. This is something that I get to talk about every once in a while, and that is the Bible Study Archives. Bible Study Archives, available at KFUO.org. I don't know if you've ever clicked on that, if you've ever taken a look at it, but if you have some time and you go to those archives, you will see that we have done just about every book of the Bible in those archives. So if you're a pastor doing sermon preparation, I know that you're probably in the business or in the habit of taking a look at a commentary or two, or several commentaries. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you will find that if you listen to the program that has to do with the text or the Bible story that you are doing for Sunday school, I think you'll find it helpful. We've had people email us. We've had people tell us that they have found that helpful. So I commend the Bible Study Archives to you. You might want to take a look at it. It also is at KFUO.org. It went away. Sorry. We had him. Now we lost him. Probably my fault. So Dr. Lane Berglund is our guest here on our Ask the Pastor program. We are going to be talking... Probably my fault, Gary. I don't know if I did that, but Gary had him all hooked up, and then it was gone. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about a story that is in the Washington Post today, here on Wednesday, March 2nd, and it has to do with the Pope. The Pope has made an interesting declaration, and so we're going to be talking about that. Let me just share that with you here, and then we'll get Dr. Lane Berglund on the line with us here. Pope Benedict the 16th has made a sweeping exoneration of the Jewish people for the death of Jesus Christ in a new book, tackling one of the most controversial issues in Christianity. It is titled Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus of Nazareth excerpts released on Wednesday, Benedict uses a biblical and theological analysis to explain why it is not true that the Jewish people as a whole were responsible for Jesus' death. That'll be topic number one here on our Bible study program. And we bring on board Dr. Lane Berglund. Good morning, Doctor.
Brother, good morning. And to those who are listening, a belated good morning as well.
Belated because it was my fault, Pastor. I thought I had your telephone number with me here in the studio, but I neglected to bring it with me.
So that's all right. I'm in the white pages.
That Gary Duncan took care of me, so my
did a fine job. Good to be with you.
My apologies for our late contact.
Not at all.
And my gratitude to Gary Duncan for getting us hooked up here. I was telling our listeners that our first subject of the day is an article in the Washington Post. The headline is "Pope Exonerates Jews for Jesus' Death in a New Book." It's written by Nicole Winfield of the Associated Press. Out of Vatican City, Pope Benedict XVI has made a sweeping exoneration of the Jewish people for the death of Jesus Christ in a new book, tackling one of the most controversial issues in Christianity. In Jesus of Nazareth excerpts released today, Benedict uses a biblical and theological analysis to explain why it is not true that the Jewish people as a whole were responsible for Jesus' death. Interpretations to the contrary have been used for centuries to justify the persecution of Jews. It says here that he's tackling one of the most controversial issues in Christianity, Dr. Berglund, and if I were to say, "Oh, really? I wasn't aware that this is such a controversial topic in Christianity," is it?
Well, I have never actually been asked a question on it, nor have I necessarily initiated any question on it. I thought it was relatively simple, as you read through the New Testament, that it was a fairly small contingent of people which opposed our Savior, and kind of a diverse group of people that opposed him. For example, in Mark chapter 3:6, you see the Herodians and the Pharisees plot together to take Jesus' life because he's a problem for both, although in different ways. So that there's this kind of small group of people happen to be folks that are more or less in power that want to get Jesus out of the way. So to then because you have this small group of people working to see that Jesus gets killed, blame the entire nation or people is just one of the strangest things I'd ever heard of. never did quite figure out why that was worthwhile doing. It's wrong, number one, and leads to no good thing, number two.
Well, sort of coming around the back end of this question, I mean, there are older people who can recall the extermination of the Jews in Nazi Germany. And the dictator, Adolf Hitler, determined for himself that it was important from his perspective to exterminate all the Jewish people.
Which is obviously funny because, from what I understand, he was part Jewish himself. On his grandmother was at least to some significant extent Jewish.
Well, he probably covered that part up for as much as he could.
Probably needed to.
But there are people who are listening to us who remember the facts of the Holocaust and the uncovering of the extermination camps at the end of World War II, who were horrified by it, who can remember when that happened. And then there are people like myself, born after World War II, who have read about it, but really didn't experience anything like that. And now, in the world presently, whether it's Ahmadinejad in Iran saying that the Jewish nation must perish from the face of the earth, things like that, I believe that. If memory serves me correctly, that the Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi is blaming the United States and the Jews for his problems. And now we are seeing this sort of anti-Semitic momentum rising again. People who hate Jews, Pastor, do they hate them because they're Jewish? Or do they hate them because they hate them, they think Palestine was taken away from the Palestinians and Israel doesn't have a right to exist, those kind of things? Is there a common reason why anti-Semitism exists, do you think?
I suspect that underneath it all, it is because that people who follow Jewish traditions, are of Jewish descent, perhaps even follow some version or form of the Jewish faith, are different. You know, I think of Orthodox Judaism, particularly, not so much Reform or Conservative Judaism, although that would be obviously included. But if you follow the commands of Scripture, the variety of requirements, and if I remember, there's 613 commands enumerated in Hebrew Scriptures, and then if you also put yourself the task of following the rabbinic interpretations, applications, and expansion, you are going to look different, you are going to be different, and being different, as we all learn in elementary school, will bring upon your forehead the wrath of those who surround you. And this is what I think often is the cause of it. You look back throughout history, and pretty much anywhere that people descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have gathered, they've been somewhat isolated, certainly to some extent by choice and necessity, and to some extent by cultural division. And eventually, they'll almost always have faced some kind of opposition or persecution, whether it's in Alexandria, Egypt in the first century B.C., or in Babylon, or, wherever you gather. And then there's the whole claim to the promised land that sometimes is adduced today in support of the modern state of Israel. Although, as your previous guest pointed out, you want to be a little careful with how you speak about Israel as it's reflected in Paul's understanding, say, for example. For Paul, descendants of Abraham are by faith, not by flesh and blood, Romans 4. And Israel is thus defined by all believers who, like Abraham, our forefather, according to the faith, trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and that's Romans 9-11. But the mere fact that Jews do claim rightful possession of Palestine and currently occupy it in the middle of a sea of Arab states, and also some Christians and other religions as well, is going to create opposition. We saw that back in 1947 when Israel was founded, in the 1967 war, and in some of those other wars that we've seen flourish over there.
So, Pastor, is it true? I guess it is true. How significant is the phenomenon that somebody somewhere or some group somewhere justifies their hatred or their violence toward Jewish people by blaming them for putting to death the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's something that I've read about. I've never experienced it. It's indefensible. It's plain historically wrong to start with. And it is, not only that, it reveals a prejudice that it's a nothing good, you know, not of the Lord. And I will say, too, at some point, you know, for those that are anti-Semitic and that do kind of work as hard as they can against Jewish people, God's Jewish, so you want to kind of be careful because you're going to have to stand before a Jewish judge. And the Jewish judge is going to determine whether you get into heaven or hell. So you kind of want to be a little cautious with the anti-Semitism thing.
So what do you make of this, at least as it's being reported by the AP and the Washington Post, what do you make of this now 2,000 years later sweeping exoneration of the Jewish people for the death of Jesus Christ as apparently offered by Pope Benedict XVI?
Yeah, it seems like the Pope has a little more time on his hands than I do, which sounds funny. You know, it isn't up to us to exonerate anybody or not exonerate anybody. We can report the facts of the matter that there were people in leadership positions who opposed Jesus and arm wrestled Pilate, leveraged him into crucifying Christ. So, yeah, there's kind of an ownership on the part of those individuals. But since when has a whole people or a nation been charged with the wrongs of an individual? If that were the case, then all Germans would have to be charged with the Holocaust and with the concentration camps and with the 50 million that gave their lives in World War II, not counting just the 11 or 12 million that died in concentration camps. You know, and nobody would say, well, all Germans are evil. Well, especially not us who have some German in our ancestry.
Well, sure, that argument, I can follow that argument. But if I were to be somebody, for whatever reason, who had an anti-Jewish prejudice, I'm an anti-Semite. If I am an anti-Semite, and I am an anti-Semite because I believe that the Jewish people are cursed because they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I were having lunch and I revealed this to you, what would you say to me?
Hey, it probably doesn't come from a theological conviction. It probably runs to somewhere else. There's no support for that as a theological or an historical position.
Well, now, isn't there a place in the Scriptures where Pilate is arguing for the release of Jesus and the gathered people there say, his blood be upon us and upon our children?
Yeah, and that would, of course, be the supporters of the Pharisees who have organized this little kangaroo court. You know, the people out there, and a Roman procurator had the right to consult the populace before passing judgment on someone, especially in the case of a non-citizen such as our Savior. But the fact is that courtyard had been stacked like a jury gets stacked sometimes, with anti-Jesus people, whether they were personally convinced of the same or whether they were just hired to be in that persuasion for that morning. That was part of the genius of the plan of the Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians. If they could get the timing down, and they needed Judas for that part, and if they could get our Savior through the two required trials before Caiaphas and get him before Pilate, they could leverage Pilate into condemning Christ. Even though Pilate did three separate times declare Jesus to be innocent and indicate his desire and intent to let him go, that was, of course, the last card played, is those that had been selected and placed there by the opponents of our Savior said, well, then let his blood be upon us, and Pilate washed his hands, which, you know, was not really going to accomplish anything on either end, the washing of the hands or the declaration of blood be upon us. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, you get a speech by Peter and John, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, cure a man who had been born lame and been begging a long time, created quite a problem, and as you know, no good deed goes unpunished. They were eventually arrested and hauled before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. And the speech that Peter makes is kind of in your face, much like Stephen's is in Acts chapter 6, 7, And it's, you guys crucified the Lord of glory. It's your fault, your responsibility. Which, again, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, he's speaking to the leadership. And there is, of course, also something Peter says there. This is, all, however, by the way, always God's plan. You know, so ultimately, if you're going to throw blame somewhere for Christ crucified, it ultimately, the buck stops here kind of thing, is going to land at the Father's desk. This is God's plan, and the Lord saw to it, it was placed in effect, and Jesus, a master of timing, orchestrated the opposition, played him like a fiddle, as it were, so that he would end up on the cross while the Passover lambs were being sacrificed on that particular Friday, all in fulfillment of Scripture and in fulfillment of the plan. So to be anti-Semitic is, in a sense, to be anti-God, and that runs not into Scripture, but runs into Satan's deceptions and runs into hatred, a heart of Satan and not of the Lord.
Well, this may sound like so much frolicking around in the irrelevant, but there's a story from the Associated Press today. This emerged in the last couple of days, involving a designer by the name of Galliano.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Christian Dior will show its fall-winter ready-to-wear collection as planned later this week, despite the sudden sacking of John Galliano as its creative director. The Dior official says the show remains scheduled for Friday. The official told the AP on Wednesday that Dior is focusing on preparing for the show and would not comment on discussions of a replacement for Galliano. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because of company policy. Dior sent shockwaves through the opening day of Paris Fashion Week with its announcement Tuesday that it was firing Galliano after 14 years. The provocative designer was detained last week after a couple accused him of making anti-Semitic remarks. And a video of him saying, "I love Hitler," later surfaced online. And I saw that video, and there's no doubt that the man Galliano was behaving or speaking in an anti-Semitic way. And looking at the video, I'm not quite sure in watching him that he hadn't perhaps been imbibing. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, it's funny how, well, that doesn't work out. Just ask Mel Gibson or Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan, perhaps. I mean, alcohol and celebrity, great. This is, yeah, maybe not a combination you want to follow through with.
So this guy says, and he does, you can see it in the video, "I love Hitler." Now, what are we supposed to do with that, Pastor? I mean, boy, it is certainly a topsy-turvy world suddenly. I mean, it's never really all that stable, but lately it's just been remarkably unstable. And now we've got a guy here who says, "I love Hitler." Whatever your predispositions are, your political views, your social views, there's no room for "I love Hitler," I don't think.
It does seem a bit over the top, doesn't it? Although I'm of the opinion every human being except for Jesus is insane, maybe of different degrees and in different ways, but we're all nuts. Jesus is sane. They crucified him. That's what happens to sane people in an insane world. And that this particular type of sanity no doubt stems from something inside of a person's personality.
Well, you're no doubt speaking of the sinful human nature, and of course that is correct. However, I can't imagine, and I am quite confident in making the prediction, that we will never hear from the lips of Dr. Lane Berglund the words, "I love Hitler."
Oh, he's far too short. No, I mean, it's difficult. Besides the fact he was an avid follower of the horoscope, and there were different pages there. You don't look to the stars, sun and moon for guidance. That's set by the Lord for the time of day and division of night and day, Genesis chapter 1. You look to God for that stuff, not to the stars. No, it's absolutely incredible. People do, I think, sometimes need an individual or a group to blame. And that's one of the ways that Adolf Hitler rose to power, the plight of the Germans following World War I.
So is it a big deal if somebody says, "I love Hitler," or is it a tempest in a teapot? And consequently, is it a big deal if Pope Benedict XVI makes a sweeping exoneration of the Jewish people, or is it a tempest in the teapot? Let's answer that question on the other side of the break.
Fair enough.
Dr. Lane Berglund with us. He is pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Cherubusco, Indiana. Our phone lines are wide open at 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727.
Concordia Seminary has four core values, and one core value is excellence. People today demand the very best. Even people who ignore or misrepresent God's word of truth often strive for excellence. So shouldn't we strive all the more for excellence in our churches and seminary? Pastoral leaders will hold excellence high, helping invite people to the truth of our message.
Did you know that a bequest or other gift from your estate is a smart way to advance the ministry of KFUO Radio for years after the Lord calls you home? Our trained staff of gift planning specialists can demonstrate the process to set up a Christian estate plan to benefit you, your family, and the ministries like KFUO Radio that you care about. Find out how easy it is to benefit KFUO Radio with your legacy gift.
Hi, this is Dennis Stortz. Give me a call at 800-844-0524.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
MTV is known for its raunchy programming, and it's living up to its reputation with a controversial teen drama called Skins. Parents Television Council wants the show investigated for being child pornography. The program is tanking in viewership, and advertisers are avoiding the program like the plague. But MTV is counting on the controversy to boost its edgy brand regardless of the cost to the network. Bloggers say the program isn't resonating with teens, and there's absolutely no buzz on the internet. Teens who are talking about the drama series seem to be reinforcing this perception. Many say the constant partying, sex, and drug use is not realistic to the average teen's life. But this is a good reminder to parents to watch what your kids see on TV.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Persecution. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says Christians and other religious minorities are being attacked across the Middle East and need protection as many flee their homes. She told Congress that while the U.S. has denounced the recent massacre in an Iraqi church and the bombing of a Coptic church in Egypt,
we need to do much more to stand up for the rights of religious minorities. And obviously, I'm deeply concerned about what happened to the Christians in Iraq and the Christians in Egypt. I'm also concerned about what happens to minority Muslim groups in Pakistan.
But she said those attacks are unrelated to the current political